are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, September the 12th, and Blake checks in on SI's top 100 list. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the show and also about the entire Locked On Network football season is rolling. Also fantasy football season. Will Hunter, Isaiah Hull, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions, Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Spartans. I listen to all those shows. I am not kidding you. Only because A, I'm a psychopath, and B, I got to write about all these teams. And yeah, you watch the games, or maybe you're out watching the game on a Saturday night with Michigan State trouncing, but I need to hear that next level analysis. So when I go cover these press conferences and stuff like that, I'm all over it. So I listen to those guys. That's the best kind of endorsement that I can give, is that those guys have great shows and you should be checking those out as well. But today on the Locked On Pistons show, we're talking basketball. First off, a shout out to our title sponsor, Indochino, today. Men's custom suits. I'm excited to explore more about Indochino here in these next few weeks. Indochino is Indochino. Indochino. We'll talk you more about them in the coming weeks. But today we're going to break down Blake Griffin's entry onto the Sports Illustrated top 100 players in the NBA list. We're also going to talk about where does Andre Drummond rank among centers. A little bit later on, we're going to be joined for the fourth installment of our 2-5 Under 25 series, where we catch up with some of the young bucks of Pistons media world. Jordan Letterman is today, Pistons thoughts guy from Twitter. Happy to be joined by him on today's show. I still have not seen the Rodman 30 for 30. I was going to stay up late and watch it, but it was just too late. They replayed it at 1 a.m. last night. I can't do that. But and I couldn't find it on the ESPN app either, so didn't DVR it. I'm doing a poor job here with the, for better or worse, Rodman 30 for 30. But if you've seen it and have some thoughts, please call us on the Google Voice line, 810-666-1546, particularly, obviously, how his Pistons days are portrayed. Talk to me about that. Leave us a message with your name, where you live, and keep it under 2 minutes, and we'll play it sometime soon on the show, 810-666-1546, the Google Voice line. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and then also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons -Matt Shook. So, the top 100 list from Sports Illustrated is out. No surprise in the top three. Giannis Antetokounmpo, number one, Kawhi Leonard, number two, and, of course, Darko Milicic at number three. Well, actually, LeBron James. I knew it was someone in the first couple picks of the 2003 draft, but LeBron James was number three. Darko edged out yet again somehow. The Pistons, first time in team history since these lists have been put together, starting in the 2014 season, which is actually the 2013-14 season. So let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This would be the seventh installment of these lists, and the Pistons have a top 30 player for the first time in their franchise. So I guess we're on the way up, right? So, I mean, every team should have a top 30 player, right? By definition, of course, we know that's not the way it works. But if you have 30 teams, the best player on every team should be in the top 30, right? As the way that talent distribution should work, although we know it does not. But the Pistons' best player this year, Blake Griffin, number 19 on the list. So not only top 30, but top 20. Where do we feel Blake should have been listed on here? Well, let's look at some of the names around him, starting with players in front of him. Al Horford at number 18, right ahead of Blake Griffin. I have a little beef with that. I would flip those two. Going ahead from 17 down the list, players ahead of Blake Griffin: Draymond Green, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kyrie Irving, Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns. Again, Draymond, Aldridge, Kyrie, Gobert, couldn't find any beefs to move Blake up on that one, but Karl Anthony Towns, we'll always just have to agree to disagree as Pistons fans there. We'll never find that common ground, because every time we see Karl Anthony Towns play, he gets clowned by Andre Drummond. The Pistons beat him all the time. I think they've beat him every time in his career. So in my personal list, I'm going to bump Karl Anthony Towns below Blake. And then also Russell Westbrook at number 12. I'd move him below too. Noted Westbrook hater here. And then going on from 11 is Jimmy Butler, Damian Lillard. Now you're in the top 10. I'm not even a Jimmy Butler guy, but I've got no real arguments there about Butler being better than Blake. But what about the other side of it? Guys below Blake that you might consider putting ahead of Blake. Right below him is Kemba Walker at 20. That's kind of a coin flip to me. I'd actually probably put Kemba just above them. And then maybe the worst entry on this list, the one that I have the most beef with overall, Chris Paul at 21. To me, he's in like the 40s or 50s. I've never been a Chris Paul guy. Kind of enjoyed the bit of a decline that his career has been going on. And I think Blake Griffin's probably sitting there enjoying it too, if he's being honest. Going down from 22, they've got Bradley Beal, Ben Simmons, Pascal Siakam. Some tough calls there compared to Blake. I could see legitimately putting one or maybe some of those guys ahead of Blake. Personally, I'm going to stick with Bradley Beal going ahead of Blake, but keeping Blake barely ahead of Ben Simmons and Pascal Siakam. After that, you're talking about Drew Holiday, Mike Conley, Chris Middleton, a notch below Blake Griffin and should be in my book. So they've got Blake at 19. My pencil on the envelope listing here, I'm saying I'm putting Blake ahead of Horford, ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns, and Russell Westbrook. So moving them ahead of three guys, but then again, I'm still bumping them below two guys, Kemba Walker and Bradley Beal. So a net move, if you move him ahead of three guys and move two guys ahead of him, that means he moves up a net spot of one. So I would put Blake up to 18 from 19 personally, but all in all, not too much that you can complain about when you're talking about one spot. So pretty reasonable. Blake Griffin, by the way, his last year when he was ranked as a Piston was number 41 post-trade. And with the Clippers before, he was at 22 the year before that. He spent 3 years in the top 10 from 17, 16, and 15 at 10, 8, and 10, respectively, and started his venture into these Sports Illustrated lists at number 19 in 2014. So he went from 2014 at 19 and now is back at 19. Here we are in the 2020 list. So, 19 improved to the top 10 for 3 years, moved outside of the top 20, outside of the top 40 last year, and worked his way back up to number 19 this season. And another one of the big questions is Andre Drummond, who we know checked in at number 36 on this list previously. Is he a top 10 center? It's one of those great NBA debates that sparks some fierce debates because there's some really good centers in the league, as we know. Obviously, there's a couple questions involved there. What is a center? There's a couple of guys on this possibility list that could go either way. Andre Drummond certainly is a center, but some of these guys may not be. And of course, what do you value? What kind of player are you valuing? Is it just guys who do one thing extraordinarily well, well-rounded guys, or guys that avoid doing anything completely poorly? A lot of different rubrics that you could use to decide that. And of course, the matchups matter when we're talking about Drummond versus Karl-Anthony Towns, who most people believe that Karl-Anthony Towns is better than Drummond. But in Pistons Nation, we watch these games and we're like, what? And then the same thing goes on the flip side for a guy like Brook Lopez, who I would tend to agree that most people think Brook Lopez is not as good as Andre Drummond. But then we watch those games and it's like, wow, that doesn't work out very well there. So how Sports Illustrated takes a look at the centers, and again, a little bit fluid in what's a center. Anthony Davis, number one on this list, number six overall. Is he a center? I think he is, so I'm putting him at number one. Joel Embiid, number two. Nikola Jokic, number three. I'd flip those, by the way. But then they've got Karl-Anthony Towns, number four. Again, a lightning rod for Pistons fans. Rudy Gobert, number five. And then a guy who I'm not going to include him on this list, but worth mentioning as another big who would be the next on this list, Marcus Aldridge. To me, not a center, so keeping him off. So number six, a guy who you could argue, especially this year, will be a power forward playing on Philadelphia, but has traditionally these last few years been a center, in Al Horford. And then just a huge gulf of non-bigs after that. So obviously it's kind of a tier drop-off. But still, number seven on this list is Andre Drummond. And again, you could argue Horford bump him off because he's a power forward, and that Drummond is as high as six on the Sports Illustrated list of top centers in the league. Now, right after that, Porzingis, right after that, again, he's not a center probably, but again, we could sit here all night and make these arguments. And then next would be Steven Adams, who on my qualifications of what a center is, would be eighth under Andre Drummond on this list. Marc Gasol, number nine, right after that. Nikola Vucevic, number 10. Miles Turner, 11. Again, another Izzy a center kind of guy. Clint Capela, 12. And then Brook Lopez all the way down to 13. So Andre Drummond getting some love on this list. We know a lot of Drummond haters are out there who say that he's not a top 10 center in the league compared to some of these guys. You know, I tend to think he's probably right about number 10 or maybe, you know, that 8, 9, 10 range. Sports Illustrated's got him at number 7. I know there's some of you out there who probably think he's better than, you know, the Karl Anthony Townses of the world and maybe want to make an argument about Rudy Gobert. I don't agree with that one, but I think there are, you know, the Drummond stands out there that really think that maybe he's that kind of guy. So up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, we're going to drop the top 100 list for now. But we're going to continue with the 2 to 5 under 25 list. We're trying to catch up with the Young Bucks, give them a little shine, also increase the community involvement with Pistons Twitter and a Pistons online world out there. And these guys are all under 25 so far, and we casually started it, so we didn't know if we were going to get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. This is the fourth one. Jordan Letterman is going to be joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. That's next. Stay with us for that.
Yes!
All right, and now we're being joined by Jordan Letterman out from the left coast in L.A. Jordan, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Now, you might be thinking, who's Jordan Letterman? But you already know who he is. He's the guy who runs the Pistons Thoughts Twitter account, very popular, obviously, and the Periscopes and all that stuff. And I'm intrigued with Jordan and how he got all of this started. And so let's start from the beginning. Jordan, you're obviously a big Pistons fan. Did you grow up in Michigan before moving out to California? Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Michigan. I pretty much started really watching the team in like the 2002-2003 season, which was great timing because right after that was obviously the 04 championship. Mm-hmm. And just sort of fell in love from there and just have been watching ever since through the goods and the mediocres.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of mediocres lately, but you fit just right in under we're doing the 2 to 5 under 25 week, kind of a tongue-in-cheek homage to all those, you know, magazine lists that are the 40 under 40, 30 under 30 stuff. So we're doing that for the Pistons media, especially folks that are doing something a little bit different for Pistons media and also, you know, guys that are growing. And we appreciate getting the word and the community to get bigger and all that stuff, too. So the Pistons Thoughts Twitter account, how did it start with that brand, so to speak, with Pistons Thoughts? And tell me about kind of the birth of that.
It really happened. I was in college and sort of was still, I went to college in Chicago and was still watching pretty much every Pistons game I could get my hands on. And my personal Twitter followers really just, I think they were starting to get annoyed with all of my Pistons talk because, you know, at that point, 2014, no one really cared about the Pistons. And it was really, I think it was All-Star Weekend, like 2014. I was just sitting in my dorm room and I was just like, you know what? Why don't I just start a Pistons Twitter account? And to be honest, Pistons Thoughts was like the only name available. I tried every iteration of Pistons something and then it actually turned out to be a really good decision because it sort of works. It's just me spewing my thoughts out into the internet.
And like you said, Pistons Thoughts, maybe the most notable thing that you do is the support group, late night Periscope sessions. Tell me about how that started. And for folks that haven't been in one of them or participated, tell us about what happens there.
It sort of started and evolved from a really weird place. It was basically the Pistons were just in a weird spot this past season. It was sort of when they took their dip after their good start. Mm-hmm. And I just started sort of going on Periscope, you know, for the second half of bad losses and just called it a support group because I felt like we all just needed to talk it out. You know, it was a dark mm-hmm. time for Pistons fans. And it started there sort of watching games, you know, with people tuning in and commenting. And then since the offseason hit, it pretty much just turned into people are up late on Twitter. People are like, I am bored. I need something to do. And I tried to provide the something to do, just hopping into a late night Periscope, hanging out for a half hour, an hour, pretty much whatever anyone wants to talk about. It's gone from basketball to life to pretty much anything you can think of.
Yeah, it's a good chat. I've dropped in a couple times myself. As I apologize, by the way, because there's a thunderstorm going on here in downtown Detroit, and that might be getting picked up by the mics
worries.
On my end. But not only that, Jordan, but you've got Pistons Thoughts with a logo, a brand, merchandise, the whole thing. Tell us about the entrepreneurial spirit of Pistons Thoughts as well.
It pretty much started, Michigan Sports and Entertainment Network picked up my podcast that I was doing every couple months. It really wasn't a consistent thing. And they sort of, towards the end of last season, got me on a stricter schedule. And they were like, come up with the logo. And so I hired someone out of Chicago who's super talented, Michelle Berryman. And she designed some teal for me that I know Pistons fans are clamoring for. And I felt it was a good opportunity to put some merch out there, get it all started. The Identity Source in Michigan hooked that up, and it's just sort of turned into that. And it's been the off season pretty much most of that run. So I'm looking forward to when the season starts, or actually later this month, hopping back into the podcast game and getting that rolling again.
And how can folks get a hold of some Pistons Thoughts merch?
That is, if you go to my Twitter bio, at Pistons Thoughts, there's a link in there. It's stores.identitysource.com/PistonThoughts.
And also on the internet, you can be found on Piston Powered. How long have you been writing for that site? And what do you kind of focus on with some of the writings that you do?
I've been writing for them for a few months now. I haven't done too much, again, sort of off-season stuff going on, but I'm going to be hopping back into that consistently soon. But actually coming, I believe, this week, starting sort of a weekly mailbag, Pistons Thoughts of the Week sort of thing, where I'll take questions and answer those weekly.
Is there anything you kind of have up your sleeve? I mean, is it folks can kind of continue to, bank on some support groups coming? You got the writing, you got the podcast. I mean, obviously that's plenty, but is there some things that you're going to be focusing on this upcoming season, or is you just kind of figure it out as you kind of go?
Sort of figure it out as I go. The last couple months have been a bit busier for me, but coming back into the season now, I'm definitely pretty much whatever anyone, gravitates towards and wants, I'll just do it.
Jordan Letterman of Pistons Thoughts joining us. Do you have any other thoughts? Let's talk a little bit of Pistons here. Have you seen the Rodman documentary yet, the 30 for 30?
No, I haven't. I definitely need to soon.
I'm considering staying up late and watching it tonight, but got another busy day tomorrow. It's just been too much Lions and Michigan State football and Tigers baseball for me these days. So there's
definitely
too much going on. But what else about the Pistons right now? ISO Joe is obviously the big, the big, I guess, controversy around Pistons world right now. Where do you stand on it, or is it just kind of a wait and see approach for him?
Kind of a wait and see. I mean, I'm cool with it. It's just the rotation, like the small forward rotation, is really weird right now. You got Svi, Sekou, Snell, Beasley, maybe Joe Johnson. And I think that sort of says that the coaching staff and front office aren't necessarily sold on Sekou playing too many minutes this year, or Svi, for that matter, really being a lock to back up the small forward spot. But, I mean, getting another veteran who can shoot, I'm not sure how much more Joe Johnson can do in the NBA right now, but I guess that's never a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, not only Sekou, but, you know, Tony Snell, probably the starter, probably the one you feel best about as a two-way player on that group. But a lot of guys otherwise than that, who's you know, a marginal two-way player in and of himself, a lot of guys that can do like one thing or maybe two things in the NBA, but not a lot of guys that you really feel good about with their complete game. And like you said, the Joe Johnsons of the world, obviously you're concerned about his age. Michael Beasley, there's probably a laundry list of things you might be concerned about, but we'll see how it all shakes down there too. But and we also saw, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, as one of the main guys in Pistons Twitter too, that it seems like the team is reaching out to a lot of the big fans on Twitter to get kind of a group of called Pistons Sixth together. What are you gathering is going on from the social media standpoint for the Pistons?
Yeah, it started sort of later last season, I think, as a push to bring interest as it was sort of wavering towards the end there. Mm-hmm. But the social media team started reaching out to people, sort of offering this Pistons Sixth sort of referral based thing, and that offers perks. You refer people to get tickets, offer them deals, and you get some perks of your own. And also, they've been really cool about sort of handing out free tickets to people that just want to come see, for right now, the preseason. And I know towards the end of last year, they were giving out regular season tickets too.
Yeah, very cool. Good to see that the team is kind of on the cutting edge of the marketing. You don't see that that I know of for a lot of other NBA teams. Obviously, probably the fact that there's some empty seats in Little Caesars Arena has a lot to do with it too. But any final thoughts for us? You're the Pistons Thoughts guy. Any other thoughts to wrap up on that folks might want to know about for the the brand or Jordan Letterman in and of himself?
I think just stay tuned. It's hopefully going to be a fun year. And if it's not, we'll have support groups coming at you way too often.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to it, Jordan. Again, that's Jordan Letterman. You can find him on Twitter at Pistons Thoughts, the Pistons Thoughts podcast. See him on Periscope with the support groups, and also check out his work on Piston Power. Jordan, this season, let's do it again sometime, and appreciate you taking the time out there in LA.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks again to Jordan Letterman, a.k.a. Pistons Thoughts, for joining us on the 2-5 Under 25 series. We'll try to squeeze one more out before the week is out on Friday. Again, call us if you have some thoughts from the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30. Call us up at 810-666-1546. It's been a fun week catching up with these young guys here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And yeah, that'll do it for our show today. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later on.